We're going to get into the Word tonight. And we're going to start in Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. Tonight I'm going to be sharing on our redemption. Our redemption. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Romans chapter 3, verse 23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." So in these two verses, we have two fantastic truths. The first is that everyone is in need of redemption. Everyone. We're all guilty as charged. There's not a single person, sans Jesus Christ, who is perfect, right? So all have come short of the glory of God. So everyone's in need of redemption. But the second part is even better, that Christ made a redemption available for all of us, right? Christ made redemption available for all of us, absolving us freely. Now the word redeem means to buy out, right? To buy out. And in biblical terms and times, it was used, the word was specifically used in reference to the purchase of a slave's freedom. Okay, so that word, the root word for redeemed, was used as to buy back or to buy out the freedom of someone who was an indentured servant or slave. And it's significant because the implication here would be that our condition prior to redemption is also one of slavery, right? Because we needed to be redeemed. Go to 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. 1 John chapter 5, verse 19. It says, "And we know that we are of God, and the whole world lieth in wickedness." And the phrase "lieth in wickedness," all those wonderful Greek words, are better translated "under the power of the evil one." Under the power of the evil one. And so the verse has, again, two very separate groups of people. We, the redeemed, are of God. And the whole world, the rest of people, are under the power of the evil one, right? And that's a position where we needed to be bought back from. 2 Timothy 2:26, you don't have to go there, says that unbelievers are caught in the snare of the devil. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan is the god of this world, and he blinds the minds of unbelievers, right? So that is the position of someone who is not yet born again, right? That they're in a snare, that they're blinded, and that they're under the power of the evil one. Go to Romans chapter 3, verse 25. And so that's not a great position to be in. And most people don't know that that's the position they're in, right? They're ignorant that there's something better out there for them. In Romans 3:25, this follows the verses we read earlier. It says, "Whom God," referring to Christ Jesus, "had set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood." And that's a payment. "To declare His righteousness for the remissions of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God. And the word forbearance is a restraint, or a tolerance, or a patient self-control, right? And so Jesus Christ was the payment for this buyout, this redemption, this buyout of us. The payment was Jesus Christ. Go to Matthew chapter 20, verse 28. So all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everyone at one point or another, whether they still are or they once were under the power of the adversary, the snare of the devil. But everyone has redemption available to them because of what Christ accomplished. In Matthew 20:28, it says, "Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a what? A ransom for many." For many. Right? His life was the ransom. It was a payment made for all of us. Right? It was made for all of us. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 5. 1 Timothy 2:5. It says, "For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus." So there's one God, and there is one man who is the mediator between us and God, and that's Christ Jesus. Verse 6, "Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time." So Jesus Christ gave his life for all of mankind. However, it's up to each individual person to come and claim that redemption, right? He gave his life for everyone. It's available to everyone, but it's up to each individual person to claim that redemption. It's like if Dunkin' Donuts said, "We're giving away free coffee to everyone tomorrow." Do you expect to wake up and find a cup of coffee on your counter? No. You have to go in and get it, right? They're still going to give it to everyone who comes in, but if you don't bother, then you don't get your free cup of coffee, right? They still made it available to everyone, but some people will choose to not go get that cup of coffee. And it's the same thing with the redemption offered by Christ Jesus and what he accomplished, right? It's available to anyone who believes, but some people just don't want to. So how does one cash in? How does one get their cup of coffee, if you will? Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Romans 10, verse 9. We all know this verse very well. "That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus," which means that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, "and shall believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead," then you're going to be what? Saved. That's it. That's all you have to do. It's easier than getting a cup of coffee. You don't even have to leave your bed. Verse 10, "For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation." And that's the two parts, believing and confessing. Believing in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, and confessing with your mouth that he is Lord. That's all you have to do. It's that simple, and it's that free to do, right? And once you do that, then you are redeemed. What are the benefits? What are the benefits? Colossians chapter 1, verse 14. We already saw in Romans 3 that that we're justified. That's a benefit. We are justified, which is just as if we never sinned. Colossians 1:14, it says, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of what? Sins. So one of the benefits is that we're justified. One of the benefits is that we are forgiven, right? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but when we are born again, when we are redeemed, we're forgiven of those sins, right? We're forgiven. It's just as if we never sinned. That's the way that God sees you. Go to Romans 6, verse 23. Right? So if you're living a life that you feel like you're guilty all the time, or that you're condemning yourself because of the things that you did in your past, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. You don't have to walk around feeling crummy anymore. Right? That's a snare of the devil. But God sees you as forgiven. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin, the payment of sin is death. Well, it's a good thing we're forgiven of sin, huh? But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So again, God loves putting these polar opposites in play, right? He loves the stark contrast, because it is a stark contrast, right? The wages of sin is death. But because we are redeemed, we've got eternal life. That's like the opposite of death, right? Complete opposite of that. It's not just life, it's eternal life. That's available to us. When we're redeemed, we've got eternal life. We don't have to work for it, we don't have to do anything other than Romans 10, 9 and 10. We get our cup of coffee and we live forever. It's a pretty good deal. Galatians chapter 3, verse 13. So we have the promise of eternal life to come, of forgiveness from sins, justification. Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. So part of the redemption is being redeemed from the curse of the law. And if you go to Deuteronomy 28, that's where this scripture is referencing. But the curse of the law had to deal with sickness, right? Sickness. And so part of our redemption, part of what's available for us, is physical wholeness in this life. A life where we can pray and believe that by Christ's stripes, we are what? Healed. So part of our buyback is from that consequence or curse of the law, which is sickness. Right? So we can be healthy. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans 5:17. Sounds pretty good. Romans 5:17 says, for if by one man's offense, referring to Adam, death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. And so we have two benefits in this verse. We have abundance of grace. And grace is divine favor, right? So we have an abundance of favor with God. And righteousness. Righteousness. We are as righteous as God is. right? And that's the way that he sees us, as righteous, right? So we have abundant favor with God, and we are righteous before him. Go to Colossians 1, verse 18. So we don't have to have this mentality of condemnation where we think that God thinks we're crummy people. Right? We can stand before God. We can stand in the presence of God without any sense of sin, guilt, or condemnation. Because we've been bought back. Those are all snares of the adversary. But we've been paid for. Colossians 1:18. And he is the head of the body, the church, referring to Jesus Christ, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead. Was he raised from the dead? There you go. First. That in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto God. By him, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled, brought back together in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in God's sight. Right? So we have, we're holy, we're unblameable, we're unreprovable in God's sight. And it says in verse 20 that he's made peace, right? We're at peace with God. We're at peace with God. That's pretty incredible. And we have the peace of God that passes all understanding, right? So we're bought back from the snare of the devil, and that means that we can have peace. Right? There's lots of people who are unpeaceful right now. They're worried about this, that, and the other thing. But we've been bought back. We can have peace knowing that we're sons and daughters of God, knowing that he loves us and he cares for us. And we're going to close in Galatians 4. Galatians 4. We're at peace. Peace with God. Galatians 4, verse 4. But when the fullness of time has come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons, that we might be called to be his children. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore, thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God, through who? Christ. So, we have Holy Spirit. He sent his Spirit to dwell in us. We have sonship. We are his sons and daughters, right? We're no longer servants of God. We are sons of God with all power. And we are heirs of God with Christ. God is our Father, then we are his heirs, right? What we inherit is that eternal life with God, right? And all the blessings that come with it. Fellow heirs with Christ. Right? Christ was the first fruits. He's already got his inheritance. He's up there. Eternal life is his. We're to follow. Right? When he comes back, we all get to be heirs with him and enjoy the same. Right? And all of that because of what Christ paid for us. And how much did it cost us? Nothing. Less than a cup of coffee. Right? So those are the wonderful benefits that we have as ones who are redeemed, right? We claim that redemption, and then we live in it. We bask in it. We claim it. We believe it. And we continue to live like we are